a stability which we don't have otherwise. Now, many things, as I mentioned this morning, we have freely received of God, but not being aware of them, we cannot say they belong to us. Now, actually, they are ours, but if you're not aware of a thing, how can you say it belongs to you? See, really, when it comes to a spiritual entity here, or a spiritual thing, because the Scripture says the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed unto us belong unto us. Now, that's Scripture, right? Deuteronomy 29:29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed unto us belong unto us. Now, it's not that they didn't belong in a, you may say, a legal sense of the word, but to really be yours in the depth of reality, they did not do so. Now, the Scripture says here, as we read this morning in the book of 1 Corinthians, that the Spirit of God is given to us that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, that's what the Bible says. We have received not the spirit of the world. That wouldn't do any good. Spirit of the world wouldn't do you any good. Why do you think they crucified Christ? You know why? Because the spirit of the world did it. That the prince of this world had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But they didn't know. Why didn't they know? Because they didn't have the Spirit of God. See? If they'd had the Spirit of God like Simeon, they'd have said, this is the one we're looking for. If they'd had the Spirit of God like Anna, they'd have said, this is the one we're looking for. If they'd have been seed like Peter and Philip and the others, they'd have said, this indeed is the Christ. They had neither seed nor spirit. So, of course they had to reject Christ and destroy him. Now, it says here that we've been given not the spirit of the world. That wouldn't do you any good. You can't discern the things of God from the visible. It's impossible. See? Anything out here we can put our hands on, a touch, taste, feel, smell, and so on. We say, well, now, look, I can understand that, and that's fine. I can just get a hold of that and analyze and do so and so and so and so. You don't do that with the Spirit of God, with the things of God. The things of God are only made real by the Spirit of God. See? That's what the Bible says here. It says, what man knows the things of man, say the spirit of man is in him. Now, men know the things of men. I don't care where you go. You go to any culture the world's ever had. You go to any group of people. And there are certain basic things that people know and understand. They've got to know it. They're human. We're human beings. But when you talk about the Spirit of God and the things of God, that's different. The spirit of man will never know the things of God. Now, the spirit of man's cunning and foxy. You bet it is. He will attempt to use what he can in the realm of the Spirit of God. But he will never, ever know the things of God. Now, it says here that no man knows the things of God but the Spirit of God. Now, if man of himself does not know the things of God, and it takes the Spirit of God, then nobody outside of a truly born again, who is a spirit-filled believer, will ever know the things of God. You can't do it. But you know a lot of people stop there? They don't know because they've been taught wrong. They don't know that the Spirit of God was given for them to know the things of God. And you know what? They can come to a place where they can actually miss out on what is really theirs. Now, I said a while ago that the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us. And we're talking about belonging in the sense of really knowing and understanding, because that's where the Spirit of God is given, that we might really know those things of God. We showed you in the book of Romans, in the 9th chapter, what Israel had. They had the adoption, the placing of sons, the glory, the covenants, the giving of law, the service of God's promises. They had the fathers. We have the same thing. Israel not knowing because they rejected the Spirit of God. They were unaware of those things which pertained to them in their day. Now, we've got the very same thing today in the world. We have people rejecting the Spirit of God in favor of a psychological experience which does not embrace the Holy Ghost, but is only purely psychological because it takes them only as far as the water. But they never go beyond it. And that's a fact. The majority of people never go past water. They're just like they were in Samaria. Here were a bunch of people who received the Word of God with joy. They saw the miracles. They believed on Christ, were baptized in His name, but still had not yet received the Holy Ghost and still were not recipients of eternal life. And one man who was baptized was Simon the Sorcerer, and he was so gross that he thought you could begin to buy the things of God with money. You could deal in a natural sense with them. You couldn't do it. Those people had come as far as water. They still didn't have it. And you've got modern-day fundamentalism that's just as dead, that have never gone past the water. It's not that these people do not live good lives. They live good lives. It's not that they don't try to help people and try to worship God and all. They positively do. They have and they will. But this fundamental group, even at this moment, though they seem to have an antipathy or at least some kind of a hatred or something toward the ecumenical move, will just as sure as you're sitting here end right up in it because they're organized. An organization must end up in domination by the Antichrist because that is that Nicolaitan doctrine which comes to full fruition. And they're going to be headed up by a man who is given the heart of a beast. In other words, he's going to be just like the person back there in the garden. I don't like using that word person, but that's the closest I can describe him because he was an animal, so close to a human being, that he deceived Eve. And he had a place for a soul, but didn't have one. And the system that people think is so wonderful today is going to bring forth an antichrist. Then what is its seed if the fruit is an antichrist? The true church will bring forth Christ. That's right. The true church will bring forth the capstone. They've got to. But what looks so good today is going to bring forth an antichrist. What kind of a seed brings forth a serpent? Serpent egg. What kind of seed brings forth chickens? Chicken seed. Right? What kind of seed brings forth cows? The seed of the cows. And what kind of seed is going to bring forth an antichrist who has the heart of a beast? Huh? The Bible says so. It's got to be the seed of the serpent. But it's religious. Oh, yeah. See what we're into? We need revelation. Israel turned out revelation. When Stephen stood up there that day, he said, "You stiff-necked and hard of heart." He said, "You uncircumcised in heart and in ears." What did I say? He said, uncircumcised. What was the sign of the grace of God before the Holy Ghost? Circumcision. What is circumcision today? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. Right? He said, "You uncircumcised, you always resist the Holy Ghost." Resisting the Holy Ghost is resisting revelation. How many of your dead fundamental churches are in revelation today? They don't even know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, although they say He is. And while denying that they do not do away with the Word of God, they literally do away with the Word of God because they don't believe it. Now tell me they've got the Holy Ghost. The Bible doesn't say they have it because the last diatribe, which is a diatribe, there's not one good thing said about the Laodicean church, and it says in that day, it says, "You come to me for anointing. You better come to me for the Holy Ghost." And all the talk then about people having the Holy Ghost and haven't even got Him. Or why would Jesus say, "Come and get Him"? Well, come on, now let's be honest. You don't say, "Come and get your meal" if you already got the meal. You think God's stupid? I don't mean that as you, as though you people here. I mean that you as a general principle in the world. Is God so ignorant? Is He so ridiculous that He says, He looks at me and says, "Come and get a suit of clothes," when He knows jolly well I've got a suit of clothes? And how could God say that, "Come to me for the anointing, for the Holy Spirit," if they've got Him? And yet your dead organizations prate that they have already been born again. They haven't been born again, or they'd be in the revelation for their day. And every day has a revelation. It's fresh manna. Let's remember the high priest could go behind the veil and take therefrom for every generation, every time he went, a little of the manna, fresh manna, for his day. because the manna did not corrupt behind that veil. So every generation God has given light for the generation. And all you know that by the study of church history. That every vital move of God has depended upon a revelation of the Holy Ghost from the Word, and that's led people out from darkness into light. What did Luther have but a revelation? Nothing. What did Paul have but a revelation? Nothing. What has any man had but a revelation? Nothing. We can't even read our Bibles to smarten up to the fact and say it's time to get rid of organization and men and everything else and depend upon God. What's going to happen the next few months if our financial system collapses? It can't be too far off. My wife and I were discussing today. Well, I said for a minute, I said, well, it'd be kind of nice if we maybe moved near a farm like our friend Norman Lee's on. Then I said, well, just a minute now. It won't do us any good because they'll take that farm and everything else. Well, maybe dig a hole in the riverbank somewhere. Well, that wouldn't do too much good either. And I went back to my original treatise. Have faith in God. Don't plan for that future. The Bible says don't even think what you're going to say when they bring you before judges and all. Take no thought for tomorrow. Are we in that position today? I trust so. I hope so. It's a revelation. The Holy Spirit was given to give us revelation. It's the dynamism of revelation that keeps us going. Revelation is the energy of the Word of God. Now look, I got a flower here. Do you know that there's energy in that flower? I could honestly eat that flower. Not that I'd care, but that's a cow's job or some kind of an animal. I don't have anything here to demonstrate. I've had a chocolate bar I could hold up and show you. But let's say that this is a chocolate bar. At least it's got a coloring a little bit like it. All right, now look, if this were a chocolate bar, the energy within the bar would not come alive to me until it got in my body. See? But there's an energy in it. That's the Word of God. The energy of the Word of God is dead and dormant apart from revelation. See? But let the Spirit of God give us a revelation from that Word, and then and somehow there is a dynamite. Explosion, as it were, a power that brings it to pass. For instance, what's healing? Do you know that healing is nothing but a revelation? Healing is nothing but a revelation. The minute you have the revelation that by His stripes you are healed, that moment you walk away whole. Do you know that faith is nothing but a revelation? We're going to talk about faith. Now, I just want to warm you up and get you all enthused about this idea that you've been sold a bill of goods and missed the boat because you sought the Holy Ghost for manifestation when you should have sought Him for revelation. When you've been told if you got enough gifts, you'd have that tiger in your tank and the wildcat under your hood and the lion paws on your tires and away you'd go down tearing the world up for God. And that's the biggest bunch of hogwash the world's ever heard. Because Jesus Christ Himself said when revelation came, the gates of hell would not prevail against the church. He didn't say when tongues came. He didn't say when healing would come. He never did say one thing about those things. He said that revelation. Why? Because Holy Ghost revelation is to make the things of God real. And I'm going to tell you something. We need it. Every age needed it. They didn't. They missed it. Every age has ended up the same way in organization and the fallacies of man. When it all was started by revelation. Let's go right back to Paul again. What did Paul have? A revelation. What else did he have? Nothing. That's all he had. When the Holy Ghost came upon him, he had a revelation. And that's all he had. He had nothing else. And it was that revelation that gave him that power. Why? Because it made the things of God real. Now, how real is real? Is there anything more real than God? No. Why? Because God is the causative cause. Go back to your first cause. In the beginning, what? Let me hear it. God. So you can't go any further, can you? Can you go any higher? Can you go any deeper? Huh? To whom shall we go? When you get to God, you've got reality. Is that right? It takes the Holy Ghost to make God and the things of God real. Did He become real by tongues? I'm sorry, He didn't. Did He become real by prophecy? I'm sorry, He did not. Those are temporal. Those are ephemeral. They come and they go because they're sporadic. What gave you your life? The Holy Ghost. Where were you in the beginning? back in the thoughts of God. Huh? The Holy Ghost seals you in. He gives you revelation. And when the things of God are real, we have reached the apex. And when you reach the apex, you can reach no further because that is it. And we have all failed to reach the apex because we've been sold a bill of goods. I was sold a bill of goods, and I'm sorry. The day I was sold that bill of goods and received that bill of goods, I stood under a lamp as the snow drifted down on that snowy night in October, back in around 1936 or somewhere, 35, I guess it was, October the 19th, up in cold Canada. I was young enough then, I guess, to take the cold, didn't bother me so much. But I couldn't take that peculiar thing, which I knew somehow in my heart was wrong. I had been sold a bill of goods in spite of the reality of God, and I didn't know until about 2 years later, less than 2 years ago, maybe about 2 years ago, the truth of why the Holy Ghost was given. Just what Jesus said, simple little born in a manger, Almighty God. We don't like that, do we? That isn't quite glamorous enough. Born over a stinking manure pile. Visited by shepherds. Heralded by flames of fire and spirit beings of angels. That wouldn't be good enough for you and me. No, we had to have something more brilliant. Give us the comets and the flashing meteors. Huh? Religion isn't a burlesque, but we made it that way. Jesus, that little commoner, because he came in the likeness of sinful flesh, that great beginning of the creation of God, where man could be joined to God, become a part of him, and him become a part of us, until he could say of us, you're my body, thy fullness lies within you. He said, when he has come, he will take the things of mine and show them to you. He will lead you into all truth. He will do those things, the great teacher. We said, no, he's got to be the great performer. When he's in us, then we'll turn the world upside down. You don't turn the world upside down for God that way. You can't do it. You've got to do God's way. See, revelation is what we need. Revelation of what we have is what we need. That's why I'm preaching a revelation this week. You say, Brother Bale, have you got it? No, I don't claim I got it, but I'm pressing toward it. I preached on the revelation of faith down in Carolina. A man came up to me, and I knew by his spirit that he just wasn't quite soulmates with me. And he said, do you give people this revelation of faith? So, of course, I wasn't born quite yesterday, and I'm not all really dry behind the ears, but sort of. And I said, I don't give a man a revelation of faith any more than you reach down and give the sinner a revelation of his sin and Jesus as his Savior, bud. That closed the argument. I don't give you a revelation. I'm not the Holy Ghost. I'm Lee Zale. I'm only responsible for one thing, and that's as a herald, to give the message of the Word of God. See, are you trying to tell me something, Brother Bale? No, just trying to tell her on the same boat. We need the Spirit to give us revelation. I'm looking down my nose at anybody. I would to God I could come to the place where not that I could afford to look down my nose, but that I could sort of look down in love and say, I've got it, and I want you to have it too, but at least we can struggle together. See, there is reality in what God is and what he has for us and given us. But as good Jesus said to Israel, he said, if you only knew what belonged to your peace. Why is peace lacking in the world today? Because we lack assurance. What gives us assurance? Instruments of power give us assurance. Instruments of reliability and ability give us assurance. Is there anything more reliable than God, with anything more able than God? Is there anything more real than the things of God? When all things are shaken and disappear, those things shall remain because they always were. And we have them, but the revelation is missing. But we've resisted the Holy Ghost by wanting something else. Huh? Sure. I could say facetiously, but not really so, to illustrate a point, as I said this morning, if a man had $1 million, but we knew how to get it, where would that leave him? He'd be out of luck. Right? So therefore, if there is a problem, a predicament, a situation, a principle, or whatsoever, but we have the knowledge whereby we can supersede it, we are victorious. What is it? Knowledge by the Holy Ghost. Right? Huh? So what we need, what are we crying for today? Revelation. What do we need today? Revelation. How do we receive it? From the Holy Ghost. What's he given for? To give us the revelation. Then why haven't we been crying to God?
that need the kind of God.
The revelation.
God
become real.
What is it that you love in Christians?
Reality.
If there's anything I can't stand, the phony. Just even saying it just somehow made my stomach churn. Not that I'd become nauseated, but I became rebellious. I believe in reality. Be real. Nobody can stand a phony. That's the worst thing in the world. That's the thing that gripes and jars. See? We want reality, but the Spirit of God alone can give it. He makes Christians real. And the more Holy Spirit demonstration, and I mean now the teaching and revelatory power of the Holy Ghost, a man has in his life, the realer he becomes. Like as I said this morning when Paul mentioned that God gave him revelation that he in turn might reveal the Son. How can anybody reveal the Son in the flesh? That's in our flesh he revealed him, unless first of all we have the dynamic revelation of the Christ himself. And what is it? It's Christ in you, your hope of glory. How real is God? Only as real as the Holy Spirit can make him, and in our case, allow him. And we know there's a leeway in there, because Stephen said, you resist him. Why? Because they resisted revelation. You know the next step is after resisting the Holy Ghost? Is blasphemy. Let me bring you a little thought here about blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Has anybody ever seen in his life the Holy Ghost work apart from humanist mentality? Now, just think it over. Ask the question. Don't need to raise your hand. Just ponder it. Has anyone here ever, or is there a possibility of anyone ever seeing a manifestation of the Holy Ghost apart from humanity or a humanism? The answer is no. You say, but what about that pillar of fire? That pillar of fire doesn't mean one thing without a human being, and it takes human beings to attract it. The pillar of fire appeared, or God appeared, to appear for one thing only. That's to a human being, right? The first step of rejecting revelation, the next step is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. What am I telling you? I hope you got it. I wouldn't have to tell you. But because it's sort of veiled and a hint, I'll let it go. If the Holy Spirit then demonstrates by way of a man, see, and men have rejected the revelation, their next step will be blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. You watch it happen. It's never failed. It never has and never will. After they threw out Luther and denied him, the messenger, they positively did blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They never rose again. They died. And no organization has ever risen or ever will rise. Because from resistance comes blasphemy. They resisted the Christ, and the next thing they blasphemed the Holy Ghost. You know that's the truth. Certainly it's the truth. We're heading up to blasphemy, the utter rejection of the Spirit of God by the repudiation of the Word. And Antichrist comes in and takes over, ecumenical movement. And what's at the head of it? The beast who has given the heart of a beast. He's a man. He goes right back to from the seat from whence he came. Now, just with these thoughts in mind, I'd like to review a little bit and help people who weren't here this morning in order to give you the idea of what we're talking about. Talking about the revelation of the Spirit of God concerning the attributes of Godhead, which we'll deal with, concerning God's dealing with us by indwelling, concerning those principles of the Spirit that God has laid down by spiritual law. Not that I can give you the revelation, but that I can teach on it, then we know what to seek God for, and then my job is done. But I have to seek with you. We're going to go over again tonight some of the things we taught you and I was here last time, because this sets the stage for tomorrow night. And if I didn't teach tonight in review, I could not begin to go into tomorrow night's message, which you will find very, very enlightening to you as to the progressive revelation we have in the Holy Ghost, whereat which will explain in turn why Brother Branham said we are now growing up into Him. We do not talk so much of the Holy Spirit coming as an experience now, that is experiential. We are talking now about the fullness of the baptism by revelation, which is a growth. In you and me it is. In Paul, he received it, as it were, in whatever period of time, I don't know. Some say 3 years, some say less. I don't know. I wasn't there. And I got nothing in the Word to tell me. But Paul received his, as it were, as a meteor flashing across the sky. We are line upon line, precept upon precept. So therefore, as the Holy Ghost was given to us for revelation, and we receive revelation line upon line, precept upon precept, our growth into the fullness of the Holy Ghost, or the full demonstration of the Holy Ghost, will be what? Complete revelation, right? So we talk about the things that God has freely given us, that we may know how to seek Him all the way. Now let's bow our heads in prayer for just a minute or two, shall we? Our gracious Father, we thank You now for Thy goodness and mercy to us, Lord, in bringing us together again this night, that we may study together Thy Word, Lord, for that is why we are here. Now, Father, give us exactly the right spirit, one of interest and one of enthusiasm, Lord, in ourselves to receive, because we want to be enthusiastic about Thee and Thy things above anything in this world. For, Lord, there are many voices out there calling, but there is one voice of which You said, "Hear ye Him." Now, we want to hear that voice tonight, even the Holy Ghost in the Word. And with it, Lord, we're praying, yea, Lord, demanding, for You said, if you abide in Me, if you are at home in Me, and My words are at home in you, yea, demand anything. I command you to demand something for yourself, and I'll give it to you. And our demand according to Your command tonight, Lord, is the Spirit of God to make these things so real that they become our vitality. Even as when we ingest bread, it becomes our vitality. Let, Lord, the life of the Word become our vitality until we become the living Word members of Your body. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we know that is a big order, but You said, ask anything of Me. Ask something big. And this is the biggest thing we want, O God, because then we shall not be prevailed against, but we shall prevail, not for ourselves, Lord, because we have an honest, earnest heart tonight to want it for Your glory. Hear us, therefore, now, according to Your Word, and knowing, therefore, You have heard us, how can we help but have our petition to our petition answered in the name of Jesus Christ? Amen. Now, in the book of Luke, it's about the 11th chapter that we'd rather Mark. I'm sorry, talking about Luke and instead of getting mixed up on it. The book of Mark, the 11th chapter, we read in verse 22, which is the climax of Christ cursing the fig tree, and they wanted to know how it was done. He said, have the faith of God. Now, you'll notice that your New King James Version says, have faith in God. Well, that's not correct. Your manuscripts all have the faith of God. I don't know whether the translators here thought that was kind of impertinent to put in there, have the faith of God, because they might think, how in the world can anybody have the faith of God? Well, I don't think that's too hard a thing to believe if you've got the Son of God, if you've got the Spirit of God. I would hardly believe that it would be a far thing to hope for, to literally rest upon the faith of God. Now, you'll notice here that this is the first time the faith of God is mentioned as being available to the people. Because Jesus said, have the faith of God. And then He said, for truly I say unto you concerning this faith of God, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have them. Now, how in the world can anybody tell a mountain to move and stand there and believe that mountain to move? Now, that's ridiculous. There isn't anybody under high heaven got that ability outside of God. The Bible distinctly says when God thundered, the mountain skipped. The little hills just skip around like sheep. When God roared, of course, the deep then began to swell and roar too. You see, those are the old psalmists and the prophets knew that it took God to do the superabundant. They knew that man couldn't do it. You don't. Moses didn't open the Red Sea. God just gave him credit for opening the Red Sea. You know that women didn't receive their dead come back to life just on the very grounds that they believe. God just gives them credit. See, God brought them back. You know that the den of the mouths of lions was stopped, but you know that man didn't do that. You know that God did that. You know that God stopped the fiery furnace. It wasn't man that stopped the fiery furnace. Although God gives them credit because they believe. See. Now, we know that nobody There isn't anybody at all who ever could or will have the power in himself to say, all right, now I just want you to be removed. And know that it's going to be removed. Because he hasn't got the power to know that it's going to be removed. What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about the blessed condition of a person who has with revelation the faith of God. Because that's what the question was. How was this fig tree killed? What happened? How did you do it? And he said, it's simple. I've got the faith of God. Now he said, when you've got the faith of God, you can do greater things. And that's exactly what Jesus said. Greater works than these shall you do because I go to my Father. Right? Right. He demonstrated. He said, I've killed a fig tree. I've removed a fig tree. But you're going to do greater works. You can say to a mountain, be thou removed. And because of this faith of God, you will not doubt, but you'll say it, and it shall go. Now, humanly speaking, nobody's got that. Now, I know that some people who are mentally deranged will stand back. And they'll command a stone wall to disappear. They may believe that it did disappear because you can hallucinate a lot of different ways. But when it comes to an intelligent person telling a problem that is in itself without a solution, or that problem cannot be solved by the person himself because it's beyond him, to stand back with folded arms in a perfect confidence, without lifting one finger, but saying, be thou solved. Why, that's not natural. That's impossible. Human faith doesn't have that element in it. Because only God can do the impossible. Man is not equipped to do the miraculous. Man is equipped to enjoy the miraculous. But he's not equipped to do it. See? Man is equipped to receive the blessing and goodness of God. See? But he's not equipped to dispense it. That takes God every time. God alone is the dispenser of his good and perfect gift, because every good and perfect gift cometh from above. See? But God is now saying here, look, with this faith, you can say to the mountain. What is this faith? It's a faith of God, which means utmost confidence in God, so that God will do the utmost in behalf of those who have need of him. See? Say to this mountain, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to walk up to your problem. And say, my God shall handle you, and I know he will. Because you're too big for me, but I know you're going to be handled. See? That's that faith of God. Now, it has been revealed to us. And if the secret things of God have been revealed, they are no longer secret. Because they're revealed and they belong to us. In other words, they become our literal possession. See, like I said a while ago, can you say a thing really belongs to you if it's not real? No. We need a revelation on this tremendous faith of Almighty God that moves mountains, because there are too few mountains being moved. There are too few problems being solved. There is too much in this age that is against us. And believe me, it's going to take God to work it all out on the grounds of this faith, because he said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith? Yes, he's going to find faith. He'll find it. But he's not going to find too much of the faith of God on earth, because the bride is going to be very, very few. Now, what is this faith of God? We found out by our studies that this faith of God was none other than the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it says over here in the book of James, the second chapter, my brethren. Notice he's talking to brethren. He's not talking to sinners. He's talking to brethren. He said, my brethren, possess not. Now, the word to have means possess. Is that right? That's why we're told in English not to say I have gotten. Because the word have and the word get means the same thing. If you got a thing, you have it. Is that right? So they say it's very important to say I have gotten it. I like to say it because it sounds better to me. If I have gotten it, it sounds like it's more possession, a greater possession, or a more possessed possession, see? I got a stranglehold on it. So here he says, now, have not the faith, or possess not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to person. Now, he is teaching here that the brethren in Christ have the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, he doesn't say have faith in Jesus Christ. See, that's what's wrong today. We have majored wrong again. We have majored in faith in Christ, when we should major in the faith of Christ. Because, you see, it's not faith in Christ that moves mountains. It's the faith of Christ that moves mountains. See? Because the world, many millions of people have faith in Christ. Multiplied millions have faith in God. The devils believe in him too and tremble, and that's more than most folk do. So faith in is not the answer. The answer is not have faith in God. The answer is have the faith of God, and it becomes real to us. See? Now here, James is saying, have not, don't you dare, you who possess the faith of God, now let loose of it, or turn to some other means of getting the job done. Now, isn't that strange? We've got the same problem right today. Men never learn that. Men never realize that. They organize. They put up a hierarchy. They put up their big churches, put up their big systems. They were going to get the work done for God. We have never had a rottener age in this 20th century, but they think it's a good age because it's subtle. Yeah. We have turned a great deal from our outlandish brutality of simply destroying people, the masses, but we have taken their minds instead of their bodies to destroy them. And because of the subtlety there, our newspapers, our TVs, our radios, our education system, our churches, and we produce so many so-called beautiful things, and hospitals are fine. We need them. Centers of education are fine. We need them to a point. But when you bypass God in it, then you're reaping a whirlwind. And the subtlety of this age has fooled people. Until Christians are clamoring and saying, oh, we need big universities to educate our children. You don't need a university to educate your children. You already got enough. You need the Holy Ghost revelation. And that's not going to be preachers pounding into your head what got to be right because they say so. You can't live on yesterday's manna. The message of Moses isn't for today. Even the very message that Stephen had is not particular today. We've got a message today which is what? Resurrection message. Wasn't a resurrection message back there. It was the beginning message back there. This is the end message. Education can't do, it takes revelation. These people right here were already in hot water because they were turning from the faith of Jesus Christ himself and having respect for some other way. We've got the same today. Everywhere you turn, we've done the same thing with the things of God. We have bypassed it and said, now let's go ahead on our own initiative. You can't do it. And James is castigating these people verbally, of course. And he's saying, how dare you, shame on you, now turn to people with money. And you think that's going to get the job done. I wonder what James would have said to our 20th century movement of businessmen. I'm not, you think Brother Bailey, you're mean and talking about businessmen. Oh, come on, find them in the Word of God. Show me where a dollar bill made something to God. Huh? Doing God a service apart from God's will end you up in hell, will never end you up in heaven. It's of grace, not of works. And even your works had better be in the Holy Ghost, my brother, my sister, or God will wash it down the drain in the lake of fire. Right? Certainly it's right. Organize your talents all you want, it'll not get you anywhere. Organize your resources, it won't get you anywhere. There's only one form of organization, that's the Holy Ghost revelation that organizes you and me to know how to work with God and for God and God to work through it. And they had the same problem right back there. They were bypassing the faith of Jesus Christ. We need a revelation of the faith of Jesus Christ to solve our problems. And you know when we get it, what'll happen? It'll be the last time we'll let anybody or anything interfere with God solving our problems. Come on, is that the truth? Sure you know it's the truth. Why? Because the faith of God stands back and said, problem be solved. And he knows that God's going to solve the problem. The faith of God stands back and knowing people revile and persecute can take everything you got. You can stand back and you know you have in heaven a better enduring something. How many tonight can stand to have their face slapped on one side, then the other side, and lose your shirt and your coat? Come on, be honest. Don't raise your hand, sit on it. Because I'm too much like old Overholzer when a woman said, I haven't sinned in 30 years. I said, come here, honey. And he poured a glass of water on her head and she hit the ceiling. He said, you sinned now, didn't you? I'm not running down the good moral field. I'm just showing you truth here. A revelation of the faith of God, my brother and my sister, will make us to see we can do these things. That's right. Why? Because we've got too many means as instruments to get our ends. And then say, hallelujah, wasn't it wonderful? David built a new cart and somebody got killed for it too, didn't he, huh? Don't bypass the faith of God. Ask God for a revelation and hang on until the revelation comes, because it's got to come. Why has it got to come? Because by faith Enoch was raptured. And there's never going to be a rapture without faith, my brother, my sister. Amen? We better say amen, because that is amen, because the Word of God said so. By faith Elijah had the same course. Now we've got to have our hearts of faith turned back to be in that rapture. And it isn't going to be human faith, because, honey, you can think all you want. You can't even flap your wings and fly. Try even jumping off a building. You'll go down. You'll never go up unless a gust of breeze just carries that much higher to fall that much harder. It's going to take God to change those atoms. And it's by faith it's done, because he comes back looking for faith. We need a revelation of the faith of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says it's ours. Israel perished with the multiplied things of God in their possession. But they weren't theirs because they weren't aware of it. If you had a $10 bill in your coat and wasn't aware of it, it wouldn't do you one bit of good. If you had a package of you were dying of anemia tonight, and there was some wonderful iron pills to tone your blood up, but you were unaware of those iron pills in your home, you'd die of your anemia. If there's a doctor down the road that can positively cure cancer, but you never heard him, you die of your cancer. And yet you couldn't deny the doctor was down the road who could cure cancer. Huh? You couldn't deny his reality, because he was there to cure. We need the Holy Ghost, my brother and my sister, to make the things of God real. What would you be tonight? What would you and I be like tonight if the faith of Jesus Christ were made real to us? What would we be like? We'd stand back in every problem. Peace in our heart. Joy in our soul. Victory upon our countenance. The actual glory of God, not only in us, but radiating through us. Let anybody deny tonight he has the faith of God, and I'll show you he has nothing. Because you can't receive the Spirit of God without the faith of God there hand in hand. And you don't even get the Spirit of God before you have the faith of God. But the Spirit of God was brought in order to make that faith real. Oh, we've majored in faith in God. Faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. No, because the devils believe in God and tremble. I want to have a revelation of the faith of God. And then I'll tell you one thing. My faith in God will be perfectly sound. But you can't cure a sick situation with a sick prescription. Only life can take care of death. Only answers can take care of problems. Only revelation can make the Word of God live, and we become living epistles read and known of all men. Right? We need reality. What does Paul say? This is what James said. What does Paul say? He says in Galatians 2 and 20, I live by the faith not in the Son of God, but the faith of the Son of God. What's he living by? The faith of the Son of God. What are you living by? You're living by the very life that your parents gave you, your father gave you. Right? The father has the life. Correct? That's exactly right. Not that the woman doesn't have life too. If that egg were dead, there'd be nothing happen. The sperm would just die too. Not discounting that. But the life is produced by the male. What life are you living by? The very same physical life your father gave you, because you were in Adam. Not in Eve, my honey. No, no, no. You were in Adam. That's where God's life was placed. That has come down, that life. And you're living by that same life. Didn't get changed. I'm not talking now about eternal life. I'm talking about that life. Now, Paul says, I live by the faith of the Son of God. The lives that we are to live as Christians can be based only in the faith of Jesus Christ himself. Now, let's say I want a garden out here. But I don't know that in my cupboard back in the closet, there are some seeds. Can I have a garden of those seeds? I'm sorry, you can't do it. You can't have a garden of those seeds. You've got to have seeds. But if you're unaware of the seed, how can you have a garden? If you're unaware, and it takes revelation by the Spirit to give it, of the faith of God, how can we produce the answer to problems? Or how can we see produced? Or how can we stand back in the rest of faith? Because faith is a rest. Right? Is it? Oh, yes, it is. Israel struggled. Israel crying. Israel screaming. Israel tormented. Did not enter in because of unbelief. There remaineth the rest, therefore. Not just the rest of the Holy Ghost, although that's true and it's typified there. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or the hearing of faith. You received him by the faith of Jesus Christ. You could never add him. But there is a rest of faith, my brother, my sister. We don't have a babe. The world's full of neurotics. What Brother Branham said was true. It's going to come to pass where women and men will see tremendous hallucinations. And don't you know right now, isn't it strange? How come Al Capp knows, yeah, writing his cartoons. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, do you read funny papers once in a while? Nothing to hide. You can read them if you want. It's up to you. If you don't like them, you think it's terrible, good for you. Just rip them up. But isn't it funny how Al Capp, and I hadn't seen a paper for months, I don't think, when I just picked up that old printed color page, and here I saw this funny monster, Al Capp said, it's hallucination. How'd he catch it? I don't care where you can pick up a funny paper and see God these days, ready for the last day. I'm not saying God's in the funny paper. I'm just saying you can see the hand. The hallucinations are on the march. You think that was a real thing that girl up in Michigan saw? Oh, no. Hallucination. See? Unrest today? Why? What is it? No revelation. Jesus said in the last age, come to me for the Holy Ghost who gives you the revelation. But you haven't come for the Holy Ghost revelation. You came for gifts and other things. Came like a Balaam. Oh, yeah. Came like a Judas. I don't mean you people here. I mean a principle in the world. Let's all have the Holy Ghost. Take him right back to dead organization. Oh, come now. Come now. We're not infantile, brother, sister. You've got a little something from God tonight. These systems that are going to produce the beast, take the Holy Ghost there. When did the Holy Ghost fall upon dead carrion? He came to bring revelation to lead him out. Not a power to go back and aggrandize your movement. I'm not preaching over your heads, am I? I hope not. Because even simple things at times go over people's heads, they don't get the complete thought. I'm teaching revelation in the Holy Ghost, brother, sister. I was on the New York phone before Brother Branham died. I phoned up some of your so-called crown theological heads of America. Smugly, snidely. They said, but Brother Vail, his doctrine is so wrong. But confidently, sweetly, I said, my brother, isn't it true that either you, I, or our ancestors came out and they called us wrong? No answer. God can't fertilize rotten eggs. But Balaam-like, they can receive an anointing and go right back to build the thing that's going to produce the Antichrist. Don't tell me it can't be done because Judas was the devil and he had part of the same ministry in the Holy Ghost, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost because he didn't go up to Calvary and pass it to Pentecost. You say, can I have an anointing without being baptized with the Holy Ghost? Certainly, we'll preach on it. Two vines. Balaam had it, didn't he? Judas had it. False prophets had it. Sure. I'll miss some of these scriptures because we're familiar with them. Let's go back to the book of Acts for just a second. The third chapter, they said, Peter, How was this great miracle performed upon this man who was impotent from birth? And in verse 16 it says, in Jesus' name, through faith in Jesus' name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, the faith which is from Jesus. There it is. They said, what have you got that did this? They said, nothing. Of ourselves. But you really want to know? We got something from God. What is it? What is it? His name and his faith. Oh, they said, forget it. But you know something? They couldn't deny the miracle had been done. He said, tell us, how was this done anyway? Now, you couldn't have meant that. Yes, he said, I did. It was Jesus' name and Jesus' faith. They go hand in hand. You know why the name of Jesus doesn't work? Can't without the faith. Here we talk about, oh, his name, we love his name, and we know all about his name, so-called. But isn't it strange? Try to pick up a book that talks about the faith of Jesus Christ. Just try to find it. I don't know who gave my thought on it, whether God gave me direct, or I had some, read some little thing somewhere, some little key, I don't know. But I know I never heard of the faith of Jesus Christ being in a human vessel until just a little while back. When I began crying to God day and night, fasting and praying, and said, let me know about this faith of God, because I've been so terribly lacking. I thought I didn't have anything. I thought I had to ask for it. How can you ask for what you already got? Peter said, I've got the faith of Jesus Christ. Oh, well did he speak, for he recalled the day back there when he said, how was the tree killed? How was it done? What do you have that we don't have? And Christ said, I've got the faith of God. When you have it, you'll do the same thing that Peter said. The shadow of Peter falling upon the sick. Do you think that was simply the faith of the people that day? No, it was Peter's great faith, because he couldn't reach him. He said, let the shadow fall. Let it be like on the sundial, when the shadow's there, the sun's got to be above it, or there couldn't be a shadow. He said, Lord, it's your spirit that's casting the shadow. Let it be now. As the shadow goes, the healer. Oh, they were healed, all right. Why? Because he had the faith of God. Certainly, he said, I've got Jesus' faith, I've got Jesus' name. You know, the name of Jesus is not a rabbit's foot. No, sir. You don't just say Jesus' name and that works. It's faith in that name. See what faith does? It honors the name. What does the name of Jesus do to you and me? Well, it does certain things, but I suppose one thing it does, it makes us think, oh boy, I've escaped hell. Well, that's all right. That's all right. That's good. But I think there's something more expansive about Jesus' name than that. I think there's something more radiant than that. I think there'd be something that is, let me say in a word, because I can't call it, something gleesome. Let's go beyond it. Something exultant. That's the way it should be, shouldn't it? Doesn't the word exalt mean to crow? Yes, it does. It doesn't mean an air of superiority as though you're proud. But it means what? That little thing, I almost call it tricky revelation. It makes me to know something. Let devils tremble because I've got the name of Jesus. How was it Pastor Cy, the Chinese, Pastor could sign his name, Pastor Cy, Master of Devils? He wasn't different from you and me. Oh, he didn't have any more than you and I had. How could J.A. McMillan cause devils to tremble, cry out against him, and deliver people of the most horrible, wildest cases? What was it? I talked to J.A. McMillan. He said, I know nothing of discerning of spirits, but I know the power of God. What was it? It was a revelation. It was a revelation the devils trembled at the name of Jesus, the majestic, powerful name that gave J.A. McMillan and Pastor Cy and G. Verratnam and men like William Branham and great men of God, made them to exult while devils trembled. What was it? That faith. That faith that you heard him say, let God tell me that Abraham Lincoln will rise from the dead to go and raise him up. He said, I'll stand by his tomb and demand that let the armies of the earth come and shoot me down if I can't do it. Abraham Lincoln will rise out of that ground. What man would dare say that apart from the faith of God himself? Come on. What man would dare say it except for a revelation? See, revelation makes things real. The faith of God is real. But we've been warned it takes the Spirit to do it. men go around. It's strange, but you know, let's make this a human example. I talk a lot about Brother Branham. It's all right. It's a good thing because we know how God sent him, and so we walk. People say you shouldn't do it. Well, then why talk about Moses? I can guarantee you Israel talked about Moses because God dealt through Moses. And I can guarantee you they didn't stand around and say about Paul, don't talk about that, fella. Let's talk about that. Well, I'm not interested in you and me, except in relationship to what we receive from God. We talk about him. But he had the revelation, that great faith. That's what it was. The revelation of faith of God. He talked for his last days. He talked about it constantly. Peter had it. We have it. We need the reality of it. Going back here just a minute to the book of Revelation. This is the last book of the Bible. And this is the revelation we can't deny. And Jesus said, don't take one word from, don't add one word to it. And in Revelation, the third chapter, no, let's see, it's in 2 and 13, I believe what I want. Yes. I know thy works and so on. And thou hast holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Notice it. Holding fast the name, not denying the faith. Oh my. I should have brought my other Bible in here tonight because I've got something written and I don't have written in this new one. But let me read you something here if I can find it. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, I think it is in verse 32, I believe is what I want. I'm not quite sure now because this may be a slip of the mind here. No, it's not what I want. Not 32. Oh, 10th. It's got to be the 10th chapter. The 10th chapter. Yeah, and verse 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. Now, the actual literal translation here is the idea that whosoever confesses Christ in the revelation of their understanding of their union with him, he also will guarantee the recognition in turn of his union with them. It's revelation. See? And he said, you've not denied my name and my faith. Now, I say the majority of us do not deny that name. But the lack of the reality of the name lies in the fact the revelation of the faith is missing. Because you put the faith and the name together, there isn't anything can touch it. Doesn't matter. Why? Because then all things work together for good. See? Let me go down 10. Let me lose all. Let the ship be destroyed. That's all right. We'll all get to shore. No matter what happens. Doesn't matter. God will take care of it. See? Those who were powerful in God were those who were powerful in revelation because that's all they had. That's all they needed. Now, all men don't have this faith. We know that because the Bible says you do not have faith. And again it says in the book of Acts, in the book of Acts chapter 13 and in verse 48, it says, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. You see, you don't become a believer except you're elect of God. You follow me? John, everybody can believe. Why? Because everybody hasn't got faith. And everybody can't have faith. Now, I know we've been taught that whosoever may come, but what whosoever? Is this whosoever one without distinction? Or is it just simply one without exception? Well, it's not without exception. So it must be without distinction. The harlot can come. The beggar can come. The moral person can come. The rich person can come. The senator can come. The poor boy that drives a garbage truck can come. Anybody, whosoever can come. But what whosoever? The elect of God. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed and received eternal life. Now, we can argue all we want, but there it is in the Word. It stares in the face. Nobody can change that. When did we get this faith? By grace were you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, not your faith, it's a gift of God. When the Spirit of God begin to draw a man, having him thoroughly convicted, he couldn't pay the price, and the price was faith. So God gave him the faith. You know something? If you don't believe that, you just stop and think a minute. Who believes God more than Christian Science and Unity? Nobody. Have you ever read their books? Read them. Don't be scared. If you're scared, I'm sorry for you. That sure means you don't have much faith in the Holy Ghost, that He'd take care of you. That's right. God will keep your heart and mind through the Holy Ghost. Christian Science has more faith in God and unity than any people I've ever seen in my life when it comes to human faith. They've got them. You better believe it. And if you don't believe it, write Silent Unity or read books by Margaret Brumbeck, and you will see where people got answers to prayer that will absolutely astound you. My old friend Maggie Davis was still in Christian Science when she had a cancer that actually ate her bowels out. And she said it got so bad that one day she laughed when she found little seeds of tomato right upon her skin on the outside where cancer had eaten a hole in her bowels. The bowels locked to such a terrible condition in the lower colon, they performed a colostomy, which is to take the lower colon out and put a tube in the side for elimination. And yet, by sheer human faith in God, she was healed. The colon was put back, and her cancer went. And those cases are almost without number, but it doesn't save you. Because the Holy Ghost who does can only come by the faith of God Himself, and that's given to you if you are an elect child of God. Now tonight, if you say, Brother Dale, I'm born again, but you deny His faith, I don't believe you. I'm sorry. Because I've got the Word here. Because the Bible says you can't even have faith. That's a gift of God. Unless you're ordained. And if you're ordained, you are a child of God. You are sealed by the Holy Ghost. You will make it. You are His, because He'll lose none of you. We like that, don't we? Then let us love even more desperately the truth that we have the measure of the faith of Jesus Christ, because that's what we do have. Because Paul said, God had dealt to every brother the measure of faith. Everybody tonight, you've got to measure God's faith, mountain moving faith. To Brother Bale, I haven't moved mountains. You know why? No revelation. That's simple as that. No. If we had a revelation like Peter, we have it in progress, right? Why? Because this revelation is the dynamics of the Word of God. You don't get it by memorizing Scripture. Oh, that's good. I'm for it. I wish I'd memorized page after page. I just don't have a memorizing mind, or I'm too lazy, one of the two. Just call it lazy. Puts us all in the same boat, I guess, that way. But that doesn't do it. No, quoting it, quoting it, quoting it, quoting it. That doesn't do it, though that's good. We need to do both. It's the faith of God. What is it? I live by the faith of God. What does He say you live by? The faith of God. What did Jesus say, though? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Word. Therefore, without living Word, there is no life. But it's revelation that makes it live. Because it's a revelation in that Word that brings that faith. See, it's actually all one great revelation, the reality of God and the things of God. But I'm breaking it down to show us what's in there for us. See? The faith of the Son of God. Only believers have it. Now, what is this faith of God? It's explained over here in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And you know, I love the Word of God, as I said, because it dovetails. And I don't want to be carnal about it, because it could be a sign of carnality. But what even if the Word of God didn't work out, like it's not working out right now because I missed so much revelation that I need Him to give me, see, in order to become dynamic, I can still get mighty thrilled about the way that everything just dovetails in the Word of God. It's just like if I were using a computer. I use electric typewriter not too well. But I'll tell you one thing. I don't worry about the inside of that typewriter as long as I can work on it. And that's kind of like the Word is to me right now. See, I haven't got that real revelation that I'm going to have, we're going to have, because it's got to come. The mind age, that's the last thing to come, because the mind is the last thing in the body. See? It's going to come. But in the meantime, notice this. Now, faith is the substance. It's not substance, it's assurance. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What did Jesus say? He said, a man can stand back and say to the mountain and not doubt. Now, if you don't doubt, what's that? Assurance. They have the faith of God because the faith of God is assurance. That's what it says here. Doesn't it? Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. What do you hope for? Mountain, you got to go. Solution, you've got to come. Problem, you got to disappear. And a problem can only disappear when the answer comes, right? Problem, you've got to go. Why do I have to go? Because I've got the faith of God in a measure. And that faith of God is my assurance. But what is assurance? Assurance is ability, brother, sister, because how can you have assurance without ability? I'm sure I can pay my bills only if I've got the money. See? I'm sure I can make the car guy only if I've got the gas. See? But you see, this faith is revelation faith. See? Doesn't see a thing except what's against it. But it says, I've got something bigger. Show it to me. I can't do it. Where is it? In here. Oh, boy. Now, don't oh, boy me. That's right. I've got it. See? I've got what's bigger. See? I'm not going to move that mountain. God's going to do it. It's faith in Jesus' name that takes care of that man, that takes care of this thing. But you need the revelation on it. None of us lack the name of Jesus Christ. We even got his name above our name because we call ourselves Christians. And Christians, one of his names. Christ is one of his names. Lord Jesus Christ. We bear his name. It's scriptural. It's scriptural. You are Christians. The Bible says you're Christians. Peter says, any man suffer as a Christian. We're Christians. We have his name. We even carry it. We use Jesus. That's his name. The faith, however, is there too, but the revelation isn't. Stand back and say, problem go. What is it that stops us from being great Christians? Well, you know, I've been talking about it all night long, that fear of that problem. Somebody gets in our hair, we blow our stack. Somebody gets in our way, we try to run over the top of them. Somebody bangs, we try to bang them back. Some debt comes our way, and we go up, and we get so scared we can't pay it. Some problem comes in our family, we're scared we can't meet it. But with a revelation of faith. Who is sufficient for these things? I thank God through Jesus Christ. Who's got that victory tonight? What's the lack? There is no lack of reality in the sense of the transaction having been completed. We got it, but the revelation missing. If a kid's convinced he can't swim, will he swim? No, sir. If a kid's convinced he can swim, will he swim? You bet he'll swim. Huh? When we're convinced, that's all it takes. Why? Because the next verse says that faith is our conviction or convincing. Now, how come? How come that Peter could stand back and say, such as we have, we give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up to your feet, heal. Now, don't tell me Peter had something more than we had. I'm not talking now about office. I'm talking about the things which are freely given to every Christian. Tell me, is any Christian bereft of the faith of God in the name of Jesus? No Christian is bereft of that name, and nobody has a greater measure of the name, and nobody has a greater measure of that faith, because God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. What's missing? Revelation. Just more reason to somebody, that's all. Why does somebody get healed and we don't? Somebody got more reality. This was more real, that's all. How could somebody stand back and let God fight his battles? Because God was more real, that's all, than he was to us. We're too much like old Esau. There's a famine land. Things are rough. Yes, sir. When there's no food, you don't eat. When you don't eat, you die, right? Just that simple. No, it isn't. Because if God said you're going to live, now, you may get some pretty rough hunger pains. You may get pretty saggy. Skin unfolds, stomach rumble. Go to bed at night dreaming you'd eaten, next morning wake up as Hungry as ever. In fact, hungry because a few more hours gone by. But God said, you're not going to die. Esau said, I'm going to die. What good is this birthright? What good are the things of God? They weren't real to Esau. But Jacob, they were real to him. And he said, look, give me that birthright. I'll take the things of God if you don't want them. Here, you take the food I'm depending on to keep my body together. Go ahead, take it. I'll take a chance on God. Come on. That's all. One had the reality of revelation. The other didn't have it. Let me prove it to you. Abel had a revelation, but who didn't? Cain didn't have a revelation, but he had the same commandment, right? Now, tonight I've given us all the Word of God. We've got the faith of God in a measure. We've got the faith of Jesus Christ in measure. We have God, His name. Jesus commended the people because they held fast His name and they held fast His faith. You see one man going down the country. You see one man living for God. You see another man who's not. What's the difference? There is no difference except on the grounds of reality, which comes by revelation. One man knew what the Holy Ghost was given for, to give him revelation. The other man didn't know it. He thought he'd talk in tongues and have a few gifts operating. And I am not against tongues. I am not against gifts. I want them in their right place. But, brother, sister, I want reality more than I want anything else. Because the reality of the revelation will make me that powerhouse God wants me to be. Right? We need a revelation of the faith of Jesus Christ. Look at the faith of Jesus Christ in action for just a few minutes. Now, you can hear all this, except this is maybe a little more of an eye-opener to you, a little more revelation on it from the series we preached last time. Romans, the 4th chapter, verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. You know something? The promise that Abraham would be heir of the world and his seed was not through natural law either, because he couldn't have any children. There wasn't a thing he could do. What did he? How did he become heir? Through faith. Natural man does not have in himself to stand back and say, mountain be moved. Because every child of God is stripped of human defense, and his defense is the Lord. Right? Shut up to God. What a tantalizing prospect for the resurrection, but how hideous in the meantime. Is that right? It is, but it shouldn't be.
All I've got left is to trust God. How horrible. Cry with me, sympathize.
I'm not mocking you. I do this so much myself. Let's go cry in each other's soup, shall we? Oh, that'll do us a lot of good, won't it? Let's commiserate by saying, isn't it horrible? Now let's go to God for revelation. Huh? There's one fella said, I'll have a lot of company in hell. One fella said, yeah, there'll be a lot of people there, but it's no company. Now, oh, we're very smug when we say that, but how about us? Aren't we a little bit smug when we don't go to God for revelation? We look around and say, well, nobody's got anything working for them. It's all a sad shape. I say that. But I only say it to point to the end, that this is the end time. But brother, sister, listen. Remember, when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises up a standard. And the standard has got to be revelation, because it's revelation that prevails. Huh? The revelation's coming, honey. Don't you doubt it. It's coming. It's been a little slow. But God never did anything to our liking, because his likes are better than ours, and he knows it, so he knows it's good for us. Aren't you glad that God has his way instead of you and me having ours? I look back and I really appreciate that. Not all the time. During the process, I don't appreciate it. But afterward, I can say the Bible's true. Afterward, the peaceable fruit of the Spirit, although for the time being, it doesn't seem too good. I've had so many good plans for God to go ahead with and say, but he always took his own. I'm sure glad he did, too. Saved me a lot of trouble. I tell you. For if they which are heirs be of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise is made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore it is a faith that might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure. Notice, the promise is sure because of faith. Every single promise that God gave is sure by faith. See? Every promise. Why aren't they coming true? Only one reason: the lack of the revelation. That's all. Look, let me show you a minute. Let's say a man comes to town with the gift of healing. Does the gift of healing guarantee everybody healing? All right, let's say it does. It doesn't, but let's say it does. All right, I got a gift of healing. I come through, and every one of you get healed. Has anybody ever been at any time where a gift of healing did that? Let me see. My wife and I have been. I know that because that's what we saw Brother Branham in 1948 again. Anybody else here ever saw it? Not one miss. I don't know what happened to me one night. It happened like almost like that in the meeting where everybody got healed. Five people were prayed for. That's all that came up. Five people got miracles like that. One heart trouble, two colds, and one cancer, or something else like that. Just gone like that. I don't call it a gift of healing. I don't know what it was. They just got healed. But Brother Branham had a gift of healing, and I saw one night where at least 2,000 people were healed, just like that, not one minute. But you should follow the results afterwards. Most dumb went back to being dumb. Most deaf went back to being deaf. Most crippled went back to being crippled. Why? No revelation. See? No revelation. Had they had the revelation, they'd have had it. Because believe me, when I had the revelation, I was healed of TB, the pituitary gland, I had it. I had it. Still got it. I don't lose it either. See, it's revelation. Get the healing is a good thing. But God didn't say, now look, folk, if you can't get the revelation, tell you what. Little gift healing, take care of it. Little word of knowledge, take care of it. A few tongues here, a lot of tongues here and a lot of tongues there. Little prophet here, little prophet there. Didn't say that, did he say that? He said the church with revelation. When you see a great big God, you can't see a big devil. When you see a great big provider, you can't see little sneaky non-provision. When you see the mighty healer, you can't see sickness. Revelation. When you see the faith of God, that's assurance. Assurance is just like a multi-billionaire who can't spend his money. There's not enough land for him to buy up. Not enough buildings that he can own. Not enough empires that he can't take over. He just said, look, I've got it. He doesn't doubt it. Yet a Christian has something more, something that brought eternal life. He's got that faith, but we need a revelation. See? Now he says here, now, as it's written, I have made thee a father of nations, whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calleth things that be not as though they were. Now you'll notice that it says here that God quickens the dead and calls things that be not as though they were. In other words, God does the impossible. But before he does the impossible, somebody's got to be in an impossible position. That's why we don't like that. But that's where he got to be. See, God is great. He can do anything. And he does it because of the revelation of the measure of faith. He doesn't do it because of the measure of faith. He does it because of the revelation, because we all have the measure of faith or we're all lost. Now, I can say tonight, I know I have the measure of faith because I know I've been born again. Do you know what that is? Faith has become an evidence. Now, let's get a revelation of that evidence. And people talk about tongues. You're running around. I'm not. I'm just trying to show you the Word of God. They've been magnified out of all proportion. They have majored in a minor. And they minored the major. The very thing that brought them out, their ancestors. The ancestors that came from Armenia and Romania, every place under high heaven, America, Canada, all the world. The very revelation they have repudiated. Because they went and organized, said, we got it all now. Typical Laodicea. Believing in three gods when there's only one God. How anybody can be so dumb as to say that there's one God and then say, now there's one God and three persons. And then say that there aren't three gods. Oh, my brother, my sister. That's mythology, not scripture. They used to think God in three persons. Now they got three persons in one God. When will it ever stop? I took a deep breath and I sighed. I quit right then. I could begin to understand God in three persons. I could take a pitcher of water and pour it in three tumblers and say, there it is. But to find three persons in one God, I couldn't figure. Because if I poured three glasses of water into one pitcher, I only got one pitcher of water, and that's all there is to it. That would be one God, period. They still got their three. They got a Father, a Son, and the Holy Ghost, not knowing that Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one person. That's what Abraham believed. And if Abraham is a progenitor by the Father of faith, even of Jesus Christ, then how in the world Christ could be messed up and be the seed? I wouldn't know. Right? Just that simple, one God. Three manifestations. Three offices. Say what you want. That's all the scripture proves that. But here it is. We have the revelation of the faith of God. And the faith of God was in action in Abraham when Abraham could take his son and lay him upon an altar of sacrifice and be literally ready to take a knife and to cut the boy's throat, to shed his blood, and to burn him to a handful of ashes and bones and say, God, raise him up. What does that mean tonight? That means there's no fear before God. And yet, you know, most of us are scared. We're scared to trust God, scared to launch up and believe God. Why? That old human adage, a bird in the hand's worth two in the bush. No, get rid of the two in the hand, or one in your hand, and look for two in the bush. Put down those things that are natural. Put down those carnal inducements. Put it all to one side like Abraham. Now, launch out, leave everything, Abraham, and go to the place I'm going to show you. Go by blind faith. And that man going by blind faith, step upon step. At the age of 100, and his wife at 80, they went back to youth and had a lovely child, Isaac. Then he took that child and was ready to sacrifice him, shed his blood, and reduce him to a handful of ashes and bones, and say, now, God, I did what you said, raise him up. You tell me that's human faith? That's not human faith. Human faith doesn't take any kind of a sacrifice. Human faith doesn't do it. It's faith in God, but it's the faith of God. The revelation. Do we believe tonight we have that measure of faith? Certainly. Certainly. The first step of the revelation of the faith is to admit to it. That's the first thing. See? Is to admit to it. Give God credit. Say, Lord God, I haven't used that faith like I should have. I've had it hidden away like in a napkin, but I have it, and I thank you for it. I praise you because that's by that faith I've received the Spirit of God. Now, Lord, from now on, I'm going to look to you and trust in you to make that real. See? How is it? Line upon line, precept upon precept. Get in the Word of God. Make sure the Word of God says what I've taught you tonight. Make sure I haven't misquoted it. I'll give you way more scripture than I quoted if you want it. Look up every place in your concordance where it says faith and see where it says faith in God or faith of God. You'd be surprised. The Bible's full of it. Especially the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, you name it, it's all there. Ephesians, Thessalonians, Revelation. Peter says it now. James says it. See? John says it. Why? Because he authored the book of Revelation by the Holy Ghost. We all have a measure of his faith. Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Where's victory today? Victory lies in a revelation. Sure it does. Victory lies in a revelation. See? All lies in a revelation. But the church has lost the revelation because she said, God, give me things and I will do the job. When they saw the prophet of God in the last century come along, they said, he's got a gift of healing, we'll do the same thing. So they said, how come it is that you go, you pray for 20 people and another man prays for 200? And the prophet of God said, because I need a revelation. What if I should take off what God has put on a man? They said, give us equipment. And they prayed for equipment. They went to their clothes closets and shut themselves in. They locked the door and said, God, I demand that you do something. When do you demand anything of God except to be in his word? And his word said this, that the Holy Spirit gives individually to whom he wants whatever gift. But they said, God, I want this gift and I'm going to have it. Other men went around prophesying, laying hands on each other, saying foolish, ridiculous things that couldn't come to pass because God wasn't in it. It wasn't scripture. What do we need tonight? Just a deep-seated, sweet, simple revelation is all we need tonight of the things of God, my brother, my sister. That's all. Nothing else. No other revelation. Why? Because all things will fall in order from there on. You follow me? What it is? You say, where will the gifts go? They'll come right into order. Sure. They'll fall right in order because God never took away any gifts. Won't you? Pastors, teachers, God raising up those men to satisfy the hunger of the church's heart? All fine, aren't it? See? Because that is where the church prevails. How? Revelation. Who gives it? The Holy Ghost. Have I got faith in that? Sure. No problem. The revelation. That's right.